everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Floyer, and I am the host of this weekly broadcast put on by Sped Homeschool, as well as the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. We at Sped Homeschool empower families to home educate children with learning challenges. So I encourage you to check out our website at spedhomeschool.com to learn more about the resources and support that we offer families. And some of the best resources that we have on our website are services offered by our partners who help fund our work. For instance, Iconics, who is on our show today sharing with us. I'm excited to have one of our partners with us. They are always a wealth of information. If you don't know, our partners not only support our nonprofit work, but they write and contribute to our blog, which is considered the number one special needs homeschooling blog out there. And just a lot of great information listed on our website, poured out by these individuals that have invested their lives in helping families teach struggling learners. Some of them are professionals in the field. Some of them have their own services like Iconics does. They're curriculum developers, therapists, testing providers. They just provide so much for families. And we want to encourage you to connect with them because they have resources that we feel are worth putting up and saying, look at these. These people have something to share with you. We are just, as Sped Homeschool, a hub that brings all these resources together for you. And we're excited to do that. I know I wished I would have had this type of resource when I was homeschooling because I was scrambling every day. I had no idea what I was doing. My poor kids survived me and our homeschool. So we want to move you beyond that survival mode and put you into a thriving mode. And so that's why we are here to empower you. Dr. Alicia and Julie are here from Iconics, and we're kicking off a new theme for this month. And the theme is integrating technology. And we want to leave that with a bit of a caveat. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not sure I want any tech. Well, we're going to encourage you how to use tech safely. And it's not always going to all be for your student either. Some of it's going to be for you. We're going to focus also on how to build portfolios this month with some tech tools. So don't narrow it down to my child's going to be on the computer all the time if I listen to these podcasts. That's kind of not exactly why we're doing this. We're going to teach you how to integrate it with a lot of wisdom. And so I'm excited to kick this week off with just simple tech tools that Iconics is going to share with us. And Dr. Alicia and Julie, I am so excited that you two are here with us because I know I've seen this in action with you guys at your therapy clinic and just how innovative you are with being able to integrate things that make learning fun and playful and so easy. And so hang on, viewers, if you're thinking, oh, that's what I really need, because a lot of us do. We make learning so boring and so rigid, and we forget just how much fun it can be. And oftentimes these simple tech things that we're going to talk about today can make it that way. Also, just a reminder for you before I have my guests introduce themselves is that if you're watching live and I see we have a lot of viewers popping on, make sure you share this with people that you think, oh goodness, well, I've just been having a conversation with somebody and we were talking about this. Let's just share this link with them, whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, and bring them along. We want to encourage you to share your questions, your comments in the feed, whether you're watching from either of those places, because we want to include those in our conversation and have you be part of the show. That's why we go live and don't do this as a podcast or broadcast and then post later. We want to make you part of this conversation and make it just very applicable to where you're at. Ask those questions. What are your hard spots that you're dealing with? Is there a tech solution for what I am struggling with in teaching my student? That's what we want to conquer today. So Dr. Alicia and Julie, I would love for you to give some introductions. Just let our community know who you are, some of your background, and why you're passionate about helping families with struggling learners.
You bet. So I'm Julie. I am a reformed special ed teacher back, I won't tell you, well, 2000, I got a, got my degree in special education, learning disabilities. And I've obviously my heart's in the right spot. I had a, my mission and my ministry is all about serving and helping. I kind of say the underdog. But I have recently found the Iconic system, and it is very different than the SPED, the traditional SPED way that I was taught. So it reformed me. And now that I know this way, I've given myself a little grace, and I bet you your homeschool parents are the same way.
Yes.
They're always worried about they're worried about breaking their kids or doing something wrong. You're not going to break your kid to the point where they can't be redeemed or reformatted.
So yes.
If I can just give that message out, please, please receive that, because as a longtime teacher, this was amazing for me. So I'll just leave it at there. But I do have the Iconics Clinic here in Minneapolis, in the cities in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yes. That is exciting. And I love, Julie, that you talk about grace. I mean, we're all learning. It's all a process. And, you know, I learn something new every week on this broadcast. And I've said this over and over again. I can choose to say, oh, you know, I really messed that one up and my kids are a product of that. Or, you know what? God just didn't allow that to happen. I'm now providing this service because of all the struggles that I was allowed to go through. My kids are working their things out. We're still working through things together as they're adults. We were talking about this previous to the broadcast. But that's not a mistake either. That was meant to be. So you can embrace that. And so just learn things when you learn them, and don't set them aside when you learn them, but also don't beat yourself up when you do. So it's a great introduction. How about you, Dr. Alicia?
Yeah, so I'm actually a doctor of chiropractic, and I'm also on the Iconics team. And what brought me into kind of brain development and whatnot is I started originally studying pediatric chiropractic. And then that kind of led me into all of this, and it kind of branched into learning and how we learn. And then, like we were talking about before the broadcast, I just had a daughter. And so that's kind of given me like a renewed interest, but seeing, you know, brain development play out from the very beginning. And it's just, it's super amazing. And I look forward to kind of experiencing it myself as she grows and develops. So yeah, that's where I come from and my place.
Absolutely. And congratulations on being a new mom and being here and being a new mom. That's a huge feat. You've showered and you're dressed. So that's good. But yeah, it's a process for us all, and so good for this to come back around for you. You know, you can apply so many of the things that you know, and in such a different way, because it now attaches to you personally. And I think that's what a lot of parents are finding as they start homeschooling, is they've heard about all of these educational philosophies or strategies and things like that. But then the rubber hits the road. I've got to do them at home. And we kind of go, well, how does that play out? Because it sounded good in theory, but now we actually have to get a child to cooperate with these things in our house and make it work. So we hope that today that's going to answer a lot of those questions and get you started on that road, especially with integrating technology. So I guess one of the first questions I'd love for you to answer is, what types of things are you talking about when we're referring to simple tech?
We do both simple and very sophisticated technology, obviously, here at our clinics. If you want to pull up the PowerPoint, we do have, our ministry is often geared towards the homeschooling world and homeschooling families. That's where our heart is. So anytime that we can take these very high tech tools and kind of either simplify them or find something that is more simple that maybe any household might have, or something that is more reasonable for a house to have. Anyway, so that's what we focused on today, was the simple technology.
Right. So you're not even talking about like electronics. We're talking about like assistive tech, like right. helpful things.
You bet. Yeah. So we do have that high tech stuff. I know that mm-hmm. you got to witness the pods.
Yeah.
Those are not low cost. So we didn't even. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to go to that second page there.
Yeah.
We know that almost everybody has a phone that it is mm-hmm. quote unquote smart. So okay. your accessibility to a smartphone will tick off a lot of these tools,
okay.
mm-hmm. possibly. Just looking down the list there, stopwatches and the metronome, mm-hmm. those measure the temporal, like the being on the beat.
Right.
And if you ever want to make an activity a little bit harder, more complex, we have ways to add that metronome, and it is a layer of attention that will get even the most sophisticatedly, you know, my kid's smart. So
right.
I can create a task for them. Hmm. Anyway, if you look on the list, you will see that a lot of these you have access to either right. Low cost or free.
Yeah.
So you'll notice
And can you read through them? Because we do convert this to a podcast too.
You bet,
and
you bet.
I would
sorry.
Love for them to have Absolutely. An audio version of this list.
So at the top, we do have the phones, mm-hmm. stopwatch, the metronome. And now there's chalk, markers, pencils, and color pens all in one line, because mm-hmm. just something as a you drawing or making marks. So if you're on a sidewalk, chalk is ideal, and you can use sidewalk right. or a driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So use what you have available. It is helpful if you have a PowerPoint, access to PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is, I think there might even be a free version. There might be one online. If you have access to that, we use that, and we have found that there's a feature that you can have the slide do this. It's called tachistoscopic presentation, which is a fancy word for flash presentation. So we are all about imagery and being able to, our minds are so amazing that if you flash a graphic, our minds are so capable of capturing the things of that graphic. And that's where the magic happens, because if you can recreate that image, you'll have it for life.
Wow.
Anyway, so PowerPoint, we use that.
Mm-hmm.
Mind maps. And
yes.
Alicia, I know that you are more experienced with the MindMeister, and there is a free version of that.
Hmm. Yeah. So at in Iconics, how we present content and how we organize our curriculum is in how we start our word maps, and then we create specific icons for those words and we substitute them out. But you can do this on your own at home using different mind mapping software,
mm-hmm.
or you could just write it on a piece of paper in a like circular clock dial organization. And that's how you can, if you want to delve into creating your own curriculum or creating an individual lesson, that's how we recommend you create the lesson and present it, is in this sort of iconized web. And I personally use MindMeister. I have it on my computer because it's a free version. It obviously has its limitations, but it's very, very useful. Really quick, back to the drawing utensils.
Mm-hmm.
What I always like to recommend is to have kids or anyone but kids especially, do a self-portrait without really any instruction other than just say, hey, can you just draw yourself? And it's a really great window into how they're thinking specifically themselves, because they can't, we don't really start applying ourselves to the world and learning our place in the world until we figure out our own body. So then what we do at Iconics with all of our students is create a chronological, track of self-portraits. So every now and then we'll have them redo their portrait. And it's so cool how you can see how they change and more detail is added. Suddenly they become, they might start off looking kind of like a potato with like eyes. They suddenly have arms and little fingers, and then they might have curly hair and a bow in their hair. You know, that's really awesome. So those are some really cool things that you can do just with pen and paper to kind of track how your kid is viewing themselves and how they see their body and their awareness of their body.
Right.
And another thing is, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I think she was just agreeing with you.
Oh yeah, I was just agreeing with you. Yes, I think that's great because it gives us a window into our child that they couldn't probably verbalize, but those images are really what can help us understand what are they focusing on? How narrow is their understanding or their ability to even, maybe they can't even see beyond the middle of themselves. Like you're talking about, I don't even know I have arms because I'm so internally focused.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can also, to kind of assess like spatial awareness and temporal awareness, what we like to do is create like a timeline. We have on one end, we put 0 and one end, we put 10. And then we just ask them, where does 5 fit in there? Where does 2 fit in there? Kind of out of order. And you can see, you know, are they able to, you know, correctly assess or accurately assess space? A lot of times you'll see kids like cluster all the numbers on one side. Wow. You know, you can see their pencil grip. Which tells a lot about like where they are in brain development and physical development. And a lot of times you can see if they have a underdeveloped pencil grip, they might have been pushed to do a certain demand that they were not ready for yet in learning. And then you can also see how they write each individual number. Maybe it's backwards, maybe it's, you know, incorrectly. But so those are some really cool things just to assess and then track.
Right. Yeah. We always think of assessments as some kind of test or quiz, but observation as a parent is one of the most important assessments that we have. Unfortunately, it often takes when we like interview parents, you know, we ask them like when they're coming to our camp, you know, what types of things do your kids need? And they are so used to adapting and accommodating it, they don't even know that they're doing it. So it's that step back that we have to do to assess even where our child's at, because we just kind of gloss over a lot of that sometimes. But it's a great reminder, Alicia, that we need to do that, because oftentimes we will miss those things if we're not being observant.
Right.
Yeah.
That brings me to another quick point, specifically with the phones. Because most of us have a phone that has a pretty decent camera on it, I always recommend when you're maybe doing a new activity or maybe playing a game or whatnot, to just record the session, because that gives you an opportunity to potentially catch some behavior that maybe you don't fully understand or maybe needs to be further delved into, or you might catch a really great breakthrough that is something that, again, just like the self-portrait and the timeline, is a great way to kind of track progress. And kids always like to see themselves, and if sometimes it's like looking in a mirror, like, oh, was I really doing that? It's really, and again, we all kind of have a really awesome camera on our phone. So that's really great. And if you do have some sort of catch some sort of behavior on video, we are more than happy to, if you submit the video, we are more than happy to look at it and go over it with you. So
that's awesome. That's a great help. Cause sometimes we don't know what we're dealing with. Right. Get that. So it's a great resource for our families. So also I think we stopped at mind mapping. So next is.
So for those podcasts, listeners, we have pictures and graphics and playing cards. A lot of times, if you just want to match up the item or pattern recognition, there's a diamond, heart, club, spade. What comes next in the pattern, or even that game? If you remember War,
oh yeah,
which which card shows the biggest value, like just quantitative games like that.
Yeah.
And then we have blacks and geo shapes. Those you can arrange them again, pattern recognition. We will talk about bohm words with the blacks for sure. You can do so many things. I mean, parents are already doing some of these things, but this is part of our simple technology. When you use blocks, you can, the bohm words are spatial. So here's my red block. Now I have a blue block that is just to the right of, or above, or below, or if you like a thumb over, or just the spatial awareness of it all.
Right. Instead of moving your whole body, you can just move those smaller things. Talk about those words that are sometimes so hard to bring an image to, but yet with just those simple shapes, you can bring that imagery in there. Those are great ideas.
And then last but not least, printables. And we're going to offer to your audience, we're going to offer some free printables so they don't have to recreate them. Oh, I mean, they could, of course, and put their own content, but.
Yeah, but it's a great way to get started, you know, something. So,
yeah.
All right.
So on the next slide, we do recognize that we all have a natural development. And we just call it the hierarchies of development. So you'll notice, if you're able to view this, that even in your utero, you're already developing your certain connections, the body development, the structure of the cranium is, they're making a stronger and stronger gate between you and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes when those are missed, like sometimes if it doesn't connect, there are behaviors later on in life that you didn't even know that you're doing that revert all the way back to the missed development or the underdevelopment of, anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We recognize that when we create lessons and sessions and plans, we respect the hierarchies. We're going to meet a student where they are, we're not going to create a lesson that is far above and make more complex than their development allows. So, if Alicia wants to speak to, I guess, more on this picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And also we did a whole hour long session with your team on this learning hierarchy. So if this is something that you go, oh, this may be something I need to focus more time on, just know that we did this interview last month and at the beginning of our preschool series. And so that you can definitely dive into that. But is there anything, Alicia, that you wanted to add to this?
Just that's how we recommend you structure games and lessons is based off of the hierarchies of brain development, and that all of these past, present, future, receptive, expressive, object, picture, symbol, movement, auditory, visual, those are all aspects of games that we recommend that you create. And you can add more complexity by progressing up this hierarchy.
Got it. Yes. Because it does get more complex as you kind of move up through those. Great.
Yeah. So the next slide will actually take you to one of the, plays with. So this is just one of our mantras that every kid knows. And sometimes we as adults, and I know you've had guests on that have explained the brilliance of play. Sometimes as adults, we forget that, I mean, play is where all the magic happens. So if you go to the next slide, one of the less complex, I mean, there's a lot of activity and mind focus that needs to happen during these games, but you can take a simple game like Simon Says, and you can make it more difficult, as in, we all know how to play Simon Says. You have the person at the front. Simon Says, raise your arm. Now, you can make it difficult by saying, if I say Simon Says, raise your right arm, you have to do the opposite.
Oh.
So even the more, so if in a homeschool setting, you're going to have students and kids at different levels of the complexity that you want. So it is great for those who do have the siblings, because you can still play the same game. They're both engaged in that game at their level.
So you had different rules onto the same play.
Yep.
Very cool.
So Kevin, because you're 9 and you've played this game for 12 years or whatever, then we're going to have you do the opposite. Whereas we're going to have little Kimberly, she's only 5. So she's just going to copy. So you guys all have your rules ready, set, go.
those rules are the basis for all of our games, because they, I guess what they do is help us to move from being creatures of that are dictated by our environment and more internal control beings, which is ultimately the goal of learning, rather than responding to the environment because of the environment is telling us to do something. It's, I'm responding because I've thought about it intellectually, which is, for instance, what Simon says, we're given a rule and we're also, we see someone put their right hand up, and it's Simon says, put your right hand up, but the rule is to put the opposite one up. And so it's this internal control.
Yeah, you have to filter it. And it requires a lot of brain processing to do that.
And then if you add the metronome or the stopwatch to it, it makes it even more difficult.
Right.
And it builds that resilience too, which is super important for just getting through life.
That's a great segue to the next slide, because for arrow charts.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was outstanding. I couldn't have planned it better.
Unintentional.
So the externally controlled response is what we normally, our kids walk in with that. They see the blue arrow pointing right and say that the beginning game is just point in the direction of the arrow or the loop. But for the impulsive kid, we want, it's impulsive, right? They do the thing that the environment tells them to do.
Yes.
We add rules as in, well, we want you to be more reflective. So you're given an external target, but your response is now either going to be the opposite, or for the advanced kid who has more spatial sophistication, a quarter turn to the right. So now it's not a blue right turn. It is actually a blue downturn, but I have to make that change in my mind.
Right.
So given the blue triangle that's pointing to the right, I'm going to actually point down. So the impulsivity turns into a reflective response given the rules. And you can make the rules as complicated as you want, which I like to do.
This is one of the printables we were referring to.
Okay. This is awesome, because I really appreciate you saying that, Julie, is that we do have very impulsive children. Our society has taught kids how to be impulsive. And because our school system, our school structure is set up as we give to you, you spit it out, repeat to us. And so it causes them to have to be that little robot, that repetitive. We don't allow them to use their mind to change those things, to process, to integrate, and then reflect it in a way that has to involve some sort of their connection with that data. And so just a simple game like this is amazing. I love it.
You bring up a really good point too. Many people would look at these games and think, well, they're not learning any content. However, with these games that don't really involve like academic content, they're learning so many skills.
Yes.
So that when you introduce whatever content it is that you decide, they have the skills to take it in, absorb it, and embed it in deeper memory, especially if you come up with ways to input content into these kind of fun little games.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, you guys just added to my curriculum because I started teaching aerial classes and I've got 2 7-year-olds and I told my daughter last night, I'm like, they're not strong enough to really do much. So I don't know what to do with them. So we were playing Simon Says this last week and I'm like, oh, I can use this with them. Mm-hmm. So I guess added to my aerial classes will be some fun opposites. And
and for your auditory audience, mm-hmm. For those who can only hear. So the picture is a grid of shapes that are triangles, arrows, and loops. Mm-hmm. And there are 3 different colors as well. There's blue, green, and red. So the games that you can play with them. So we try to have a grid that has the graphic that has 3 characteristics, because the games that you can play, the more sophisticated games are tell me the color, the shape, and then the direction going across the screen. So if I say blue arrow down, blue loop up. So you see, I'm going across, you can't see my mouse, but I was going across as in I am going to give it the characteristic. My response is going to be, the rule is you're going to say the color of the first shape, the shape, and then the direction. And you will go across the first row using those rules. Or you can skip every other one and just say, you know, triangle, loop, loop, triangle, loop.
Right.
You can make the game as simple or complex as you want, but the magic happens when they internalize that rule, and then it's them doing the action. It is an efferent action. If you guys, I know if you watch one of your other broadcasts, we talked about the difference between afferent and efferent.
Yes.
And efferent is where there's that rule and it's the doing of, it's the putting the effort in, whereas the afferent is just all this information just coming at us. It's the reason why we can binge watch ridiculous shows when we just want to turn off our brain.
Right.
There's no thinking involved. So anyway.
Yes. That's a good point. And unfortunately, a lot of education is like that mass just pushing in information and there's no response that requires any sort of thought other than recall. And that's it.
Again, with the whole grace and the, as a reformed sped teacher, I just want to let all your viewers know that, the traditional way of school is give us the information so that we can know information. Well, we have transitioned or pivoted now because we have information literally at our fingertips.
Right.
What we need now are teachers. They have to change. They have to pivot in their roles as not so much information givers anymore. We need to be, as educators, we need to be, oh, let's teach you how to learn. Let's teach you discernment.
Right.
Let's teach you, the things that you do with information.
Yeah.
So that's why traditionally that is a hurdle that we educators must acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately us as parents, even that's the realm we were taught in. So when we think of education, unfortunately that's what we think about too. Right. So it's going to be a mind shift for us as well as we home educate and change our approach in our homes.
Sure. Okay. So moving on, more low tech or simple tech.
And it's a printable. We have it as a printable as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is another one of those printables that has 3 characteristics and it has less on the screen. So that's even better. But we call these the near far charts. So again, the 3 characteristics is either a striped or solid. It's got a number on it, or it is a color. So if I have the little sheet, it's a tiny little sheet, and I have this student look at it here, and then it looks there, then you look here, then you look there. And so you say, if I want you to read just numbers, because the student, we're going to just do the simple, read the numbers going down. So they'll look here for 14, they'll look far at 7, look close, 14, 1, 10, 8. So it is the proprioception of the eye muscles.
It's specifically working on improving accurate eye movements, which are necessary to introduce reading.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it matter which side you put, like the smallest, the middle, the biggest, and then, or should you be switching them from side to side actually to help the eyes? I don't know. I'm just a question.
Well, you stand right in, it's right in line in your midline.
Oh, okay.
I think the picture's just off center, just for the photo. But yeah, you usually stand, I think it's about 10 feet away from the poster on the wall, which they're matching cards. They don't have to be, but how we usually start is matching. Okay. And so you can change the rule, whether it's you read the first number up close, the second number far away, and like Julie was talking about, or you can read the first line up close. You can just change it around, but it's supposed to help with improving eye movement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And all the things we talked about as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's just the two. It's the one that's on the wall and the card that you're holding in your hand.
Yeah. And,
So just for those on our podcast, know these are like pool balls, like the colors with stripes or solids with numbers on them. And it's just, looking from one to the other with questions. So,
And it's super easy to make your own too. You can put letters, you can put arrows, numbers, little icons, whether maybe it's a story that you've just iconized out.
Oh yeah. And
you just print off two of them, one on the wall, one you hold up close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just bounce back and forth.
Yeah. That'd be a great way to bring in content when you're doing different studies and talking about things with your kids. That's awesome.
So on the next slide, we just have two more simple tech, as we would say, but it's, we do these activities we'll just call this one the double couche catch. We do these activities and sometimes we don't understand all of the sophisticated things that go into being able to take these two balls and throw them. I mean, the throwing is okay. It's the catching part. All the things that have to be integrated in order for you to catch both of them. So those are great games to play.
Now I remember you talking about this and talking about using baskets also to make it easier at first. Cause I can imagine there'd be a lot of frustration in trying to catch those couche balls at the same time.
Well, sure. Definitely using one actually is the lowest denominator here.
Yep.
So you can always make something harder, but that's one of the games. And then the pie tin. So I try to think of something that you would have around your house. Do people use pie tin or still you have pie tins? Perhaps.
Maybe. But, otherwise they're really cheap. You can buy the aluminum ones.
You flip one of those over and you get yourself a marble or just some small sphere. And it is deceivingly difficult to keep that in rotation as you walk, maybe as a balance beam or put one foot in front of the other or backwards. All of your integrated body, it's deceiving how difficult we can make that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. We're always focusing on one thing and saying, oh, you know, we've hit that milestone, our child can walk, but yet there's that, like you said, it's that peripheral awareness, because if you're focusing on that marble and then you're having to walk and not trip. I mean, if you have a child that's tripping, I can't imagine how much that you're going to work on those skills by challenging them with it, but it's going to be fun at the same time. They're not going to this is boring. No. And then you can have competitions, because I'll see that happening with siblings, you know, going, I can do better than you can.
That is the thing that happens. That is the competitive mode.
And you mentioned peripheral vision, and that's what these two games in particular, especially with, if you integrate balance into the pie tin game, you know, in academics, it forces us to be very central vision focused, which is, so, you know, kids with hyperactivity, ADD, ADHD, those kinds of things are really very sequential, very central focused. And this helps, you know, work on that peripheral vision, open them up, make them more aware of more things all at once versus jumping from one thing to another, because in the end, that's how they're thinking. They're bounce from here to here to here. It's like squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Uh-huh. And, you know, rather than seeing the big picture, you know, it's going to help with the impulsivity, the hyperactivity, you know, a lot of behavioral problems like tantrums and stuff, because it's going to help them increase their prediction. What's going to happen next?
Right.
So they can internally start creating plans versus living here in the present, moment to moment. And, you know, so that's what, and it's crazy to think like, oh, just throwing some koosh balls, catching them at the same time, or throwing scarves the same way.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to start. They're a little slower. I love how you explain that, because I think a lot of times we're just like, oh, our child just has to live with us, and their attention's always going to be this so hyper focused. But the fact that we can start increasing that peripheral vision and what information that our child is taking in. And a lot of times it's because we spend so much time in front of screens and other things, or just hyper-focused, even if you've never introduced your child to tech, but all they're looking at is this narrow window of information that whether it's in a book or an activity, and we don't do a lot of this play that requires all of these motions, and just as a society, we become more that way. And so to integrate this into our daily learning is where we're going to start seeing results. So thank you for just showing us those simple things. I think a lot of times parents are like, well, I want to do that, but well, how?
If I could encourage just even one thing, it's that there are no purposeless behaviors. So, you know, your kid's doing something for a reason, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, just to be observant and, you know, using your gut instinct, maternal instinct, parental instinct, to be aware of those things. It's so great. And like I said in the beginning, you know, if you observe a behavior and you think that there's something going on, you just don't quite understand it or know, we would be more than happy to just talk it over with you. And you brought up another point too, as far as, you know, seeing the big picture and homeschool, you have such a great opportunity to, you know, dictate your child's day in life. And one thing that we, like you said, with we're so involved in screens and, you know, these little things that make pictures for us and make all these sounds. And, you know, we really don't get that physicality, develop that physicality, you know, playing outside used to be this thing that we learned all of these tools and skills with before we went to actual school.
Right.
And, you know, as homeschoolers, you know, you have that ability to allow your kid to do that. And, you know, I highly encourage that. So that's so great.
Yeah. Great things to point out. And yes, it's not too late. And, you know, even as adults, we can increase our peripheral awareness and all of these things by playing these games with our kids. So homeschooling will improve you as well as your children. I'm a testament to that. I am so glad that I homeschooled my kids, because it caused me to become a better person. I know that. And so I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you're just not cut out for this, there's no way, one day at a time, and you and your child will make progress. And so I just want to encourage you in that. All right. Where are we at with the slides?
So on that next slide is one of our own Iconics team member.
Yes.
She created the Spots game. And Alicia, I know that you have some passionate thoughts about this.
Yeah. Like Julie said, one of our other teammates created this all on her own, just based off of her understanding of brain development and her mm-hmm. own working, because she works in one of our clinics, working with students. And so it's basically a game of, as it says, quick moves and faster thinking. So it's a ring of colors. I'll describe it for your podcast listeners. It's a ring of colors. A student stands in the middle. There's a rule that's given. You can introduce curricular content if you would like, mm-hmm. and we encourage. We start off with just learning the clock dial to develop that spatial awareness, mm-hmm. and you can also use it for simple math. And like we've been talking about this whole broadcast is just adding in those rules that then mm-hmm. the student has to manipulate and then output some sort of active physical movement, right. Verbal, gestural. We incorporate mm-hmm. gestural movements, and that's all encapsulated in this SPOTS game. And we offer content to also go with it, curricular content to go with it.
That's great.
Little picture cards. Yeah.
Okay, and cool. There's a link down at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. There. And we'll include that in our feed for the YouTube channel, as well as the podcast. And Our World at Hope Park said too, SPOTS can be pre-ordered, because that's still in the design or the manufacturing phase, I think, because when we had Mackenzie on last month, she had said that they were trying to get enough orders to get that together. So,
and Mackenzie's the teammate I was referring to.
Yeah. And she's a homeschool grad. So, or she had been homeschooled. So, so anyways, another bonus for homeschoolers there.
Brilliant young lady. Just a brilliant young lady.
Yeah.
So on the next slide, there are just a list of games that are within reach for most families that do great things, integrating a lot of the skills that we would want to see in the advancement of our students. So for those who aren't viewing this, there's mazes, mm-hmm. Simple mazes, like when you're kids. More complexity is if you don't use a pencil to complete them.
Oh,
you just use your eyes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The next on the list is hopscotch. Just the movement and the rule of having to skip the number. Obstacle mm-hmm. courses, any obstacle course. I have not yet met a student who doesn't enjoy obstacle courses.
That was what my house was like made into when my kids were younger. There was never a cushion on the couch.
Right. You bet. It's fun and mysterious.
Yes. And if you introduce the rule of, okay, you've created this obstacle course, before you go through it, I want you to mentally go through it. And for instance, estimate how much time it'll take you to go through it, or estimate how many steps will it take you to go from here to here before you do it, then do it. And, see how accurate you were. Mm-hmm. If you were very inaccurate, let's try again, those kinds of rules.
You bet. Again, mind maps, battleship. A battleship is terrific for spatial awareness, of course, but then learning the grid. That is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The F2. Yeah.
Right. Yes. hit or miss.
Right.
And then you have those operation games, and they make many versions of those that gets you down into the particulate and in that central vision.
Right.
Being real careful and using all of your fine motor skills in order to complete the operation.
Yeah.
Uno and memory games, Go Fish, Old Maid, War, dice, and juggling. I don't know. I know, Alicia, you wanted to speak on some of these, but I didn't know for her audible audience. I want to make sure I went through all of them.
Yeah, real quick back to Battleship. That game is it's super good for creating for helping create visual images, because, and obviously memory, what we like to do at our clinics is to use those little geo blocks with shapes. Mm-hmm. And then you could just put like a folder up, like you did when you were in school, to kind of block. Mm-hmm. and you have one person on one side and one person on the other with the same shapes. And one person creates this sort of diagram with the shapes and has to like verbally describe where.
Yes.
And
I watched this at your clinic. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's super great to create that visual image of like, okay, mm-hmm. they described it this way. I have to see it in my mind before I can put it on the page and put it in the right position. So that's a really great and fun game too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to be able to articulate verbally what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Physically and
that's where to instruct
another person to be able to, only that, but you have to be able to convey it and your communication mm-hmm. skills, all of those things being improved upon.
Receptive and expressive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had one of our viewers too, that was talking about your game too. She said our students do a lot of obstacle courses to help remediate the primitive reflexes.
Yeah.
So yes,
makes sense.
Lots of movement. Mm-hmm. So
kids love the movement, of course.
Oh yeah. Yes. Talk about a good brain break. We talk about building those in and getting some exercise. Yes.
Well, and when you're learning new content, if you incorporate movement into the learning process, it actually embeds the content further into your memory. It incorporates different areas of the brain, which embeds it into that hippocampus area.
That's awesome. Yes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we just want to try usually just get through the workbook or get through the page and let's just get done with this. Yeah. But we want to embed it. We want to get it there to stay there, not just to get it there and be gone again.
And pass a test.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And pass those state tests. No.
Yeah. Yes. So an encouragement there.
Right. And we use the dice. That's just the last one I'd like to hit on. The dice we use for early introduction to math for like standard configurations and whatnot. It's really helpful.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's a very good, simple way to get those pictures embedded in your mind. This is what one looks like too. And mm-hmm.
and adding and subtracting and all that. Also you can on like Amazon, you can get a whole bunch of like blank die. And create your own if you'd like.
What would you use those for? What would you put on them?
So what we've started to do is put little images if you want to create stickers, or you can customize your own set of number dice. Like with 1, 2, 3, but just put them in a different pattern. Because, you think of 5 and there's 2 on the top, 2 on the bottom, 1 in the middle. But if you shift them around, it becomes, you have to learn the new pattern. And so it creates that. So you have to just glance at it, put it in your memory, and then try to recall it versus, so it's pattern.
Right.
Retention.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how and I recommend doing it.
Anything, we want to connect the new information with stuff that we already know. Mm-hmm. So anytime we can do that, that is ideal. For instance, like those mind maps, it just occurred to me. So we all agree, when I say the word apple, we all agree about appleness. I don't have to go into detail about, it was red, delicious, and it grew on a farm up in, I don't have to do any of that because we agree to the extent that we all understand appleness, but our perception of apple is different for everybody. A baker might think of an instant pie. They might get an image of a pie, or someone from New York might think, oh, that's my identity. I'm from the apple. But so what we do is we try to make connections for anything that could be related to that, because when we try to recall the appleness of it or make a connection with the appleness, we'll have those to retrieve and anything that we call it, making it sticky.
So you're kind of anchoring it to something that's already there and just adding more information into whatever folder you've already created instead of creating all these new folders in your brain and then going, where did I put that? And I think that that causes a lot of scatterbrainness because we have things that should be that look like my Google Drive. I have to admit, I don't file things. My poor admin, she took over and she's like, oh my goodness.
But that's the thing. You probably know where everything is.
Not really.
No, okay.
Jewel,
Well, that's how my computer is organized too. It's like all over the place. No one else knows what anything is but I do. And I think that's a really big misconception on how people think like our memory is designed. Like we think it's these filing cabinets with like really nice, clean, neat folders and everything, you know, is in its spot, but really it's more of like a spider web, like, right. a, you know, this cluster of like knotted up yarn and
connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything is connected. And the key to learning and learning memory is to create more of these connections. Mm-hmm. Like Julie said, what else can we attach to this idea of an apple?
Right.
You know, yeah. And it might come across like a scatterbrain, but you know, if you think further down the line, so say when you introduce writing, creative writing, poetry, whatnot, mm-hmm. metaphor, analogy, those connections are what creates those mm-hmm. ideas.
Piggybacking off of her five, you have the standard configuration on a dice, mm-hmm. but you also have a hand, which is the first thing we usually figure out is five. Mm-hmm. You have a $5 bill. You have a high five. You think of sports. There's five people on a team for basketball. Like mm-hmm. all these connections can be made. And that's just the idea of five.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's just making it, I guess, stickier or recallable anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that spider web analogy because, yes, for all of us that are folder impaired. Well,
I know we touched on a whole lot of tech.
Oh, this was awesome. Yeah.
I do want to have just a word of encouragement for families, like your homeschool families. Mm-hmm. I know that we've talked about the developmental, like the hierarchies and being able to customize any kind of activity for the different sophistication. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Alicia, she touched on it saying that all behavior, there's a reason for every behavior. There's no behavior that's for no reason.
Right.
So for a parent who doesn't know what level their student is at, don't worry about that. They will tell you.
Oh yeah.
Like what we as adults might consider naughty behavior, that's just a disengagement for something that they're not ready for. Right. I don't know if they're going to call it stupid or whatever, but they're going to definitely disengage. They're just going to let you know, this is too sophisticated. I need to go a little bit less complex. Give me something a little bit easier. Take off one of the rules or give me something that is at my level. So
And that's where we call the white water area, because just prior to white water it's a little too easy. Then you get to white water and it's just hard enough that they learn it, and they learn it really well. And then if you go too far, you've gone past it and they're not going to engage. They're going to lose them.
Just testing the waters.
Let's continue the metaphor.
All right. So we only have a couple minutes left. I'd love for you guys to talk about Iconics just a little bit, where people can find you. And definitely we're going to have some of these links and information on how to get these handouts that Dr. Alicia and Julie were talking about too.
You bet. So we are going to offer your audience the ability to send us like either a link. I know we all have our phones and you can usually share a link if it's going to be a video that's too big for regular email sending. But we're going to offer your audience the ability to send us a video of their kid doing a behavior. What is my kid doing? Right. Because we see the behavior, but we don't know what they're doing in their mind, because nobody knows that. But we have great people on the team who pattern recognize many of the behaviors, and those behaviors are often linked to a gap in the development, or they're good at finding out what they're doing in there.
So. Right. Yeah.
And then offering some solutions to remediate or to, you know, maybe change your trajectory of where you're going.
Great. Yeah. So I see you have your email addresses there, and then the email address for to send the videos. And like I said, we'll put those in our description, because they're they're kind of long, so we don't want you to spend too much time, but yes. But that's often awesome. And really to find all your resources, if you go to iconicslearningcenter.com, that's where you're going to find the whole Iconics group. And you guys are spread out now. I heard you're launching in Arizona. Is that correct? I think somebody sent me some information saying, yep, Arizona. And then, of course, you're in Minnesota. One of the Carolinas. Is that correct?
Yep. South Carolina, and Georgia.
And Georgia. Yep.
Yeah. You bet.
And Michigan. So, is that correct, too? Or somewhere around there.
So yeah, again, offering the printables also, but you'll have to email one of those, either Dr. Alicia or myself. Just email us, and I'm obviously going to send you more than just the printables. Okay. But those are what we would, if you like them or you don't want to recreate them.
Yeah,
we'd be happy to share them.
Yep, and we'll send information on how to use them and whatnot.
Oh, sure,
great. Okay, well, thank you, ladies. I really appreciate this. This has been so insightful, and I think so those that were showing up saying, you know, what kind of technology do I have to buy? Going, oh, I got stuff at home already. I can do this. It was probably a great, just kind of a. An extra little bonus of, no, you don't have to buy anything. You probably already got all this. So thanks for sharing those creative ideas and really helping us to understand further why they work. I think that's sometimes what we get stuck on is, okay, I got to add all this stuff now. Why am I doing this? And you guys really did a good job of really explaining this is the why behind all of these things. And there's great information. So yes, definitely check out Iconics. I want to thank all of our viewers who joined us. I know Kirasu, you said hi in the middle. I'm sorry I did not acknowledge you, but thank you for joining us again. And for all the others, our world at Hope Park. And I know I've seen other viewers on, lots of thumbs up and hearts. So thank you for joining us live. And if you're just joining us on the recording, definitely try to pop in, look at our schedule of our upcoming guests, maybe some guests that you want to interact with, and join us in the afternoon. We go live 12:30 to 1:30 Central Time every Tuesday, usually. So, but check the schedule because sometimes that does change a little bit, but that's pretty typical. Thanks again, Iconics. Thanks for partnering with us and just supporting our nonprofit work. Just want our viewers to know that this broadcast was sponsored by viewers like you. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation to Sped Homeschool, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com. And we appreciate that and allowing us to just continue to serve you and to help provide resources for you as you home educate your unique learner. So awesome job, ladies. I'm excited to have you back on the show and just all of the, I can't wait to hear everything that's going to be going on in your clinic. I know you guys are working on a lot of stuff. So just thanks so much for
having me.
So many homeschoolers. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, and
thanks for having us. And thanks for putting these on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. I know I'm coming up, I guess, February will be 5 years we've been doing this broadcast. So that's really hard to believe. I know.
Man,
so it goes by fast.
I bet.
but yes, if you're thinking, wow, almost five years. Yes. Our YouTube channel has a lot of content and we have a lot of podcasts. So go back and look through that because this is the type of information that our guests are sharing every week. Well, not exactly, but you know, just encouraging, helpful, constructive information that'll just empower you to home educate and do it well.
Yeah, take a break from Netflix and binge watch some empowering. Yeah,
exactly. Binge watch me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, well, we appreciate all of you out there. And I'm excited. Next week, we are going to continue on with talking about technology. And we're going to specifically talk about using technology to increase your students' learning motivation. So I guess we talked a little bit about that today, but we're gonna talk about some motivation too with another guest, and I'm sure they'll have more ideas to add into the collective. So you'll want to join us then. But thanks again, everybody. Thanks again, Alicia and Julie. I appreciate you guys taking time out from your schedules. And so we'll see you all next week. Same place, same time. God bless everyone. See you then. Bye.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com. or wherever you get your podcast.